of you who follow your liturgical calendars closely know that Epiphany was actually last Friday, January 6th. So today, in the church, we have Epiphany observed. It's just like Washington's birthday. Now, we get to do this in the church because there's always a little bit of play in the worship calendar. And it's important for us as a community of faith to come together and close out these days of celebrating the birth of the Christ child. We heard this morning of the visit of the people from the east who followed a star to come see Jesus. And if I asked you for some details about these visitors, you might say, as I suspect a lot of folks out there would, that there were three of them. And perhaps you might also say that their names were Balthasar and Melchior and Caspar, and maybe you would say that they were kings. You could say all of these things, but there would be no evidence to support these contentions. No numbers were given for the Magi in the reading that we just heard from John. No names. We can even go out on a limb here. We don't even know whether they were men or women. Just a bunch of visitors. In the early years of the church, it was assumed that there were 12. So we don't know how many came. We don't know what they looked like. We don't know what their names were. We don't know why they chose to bring gold and frankincense and myrrh in particular. There's been speculation, gold for a king and frankincense for a priest and myrrh for the anointing of a royal or a body. But we don't actually know why those gifts were chosen. Here's what we do know. A bunch of people from the east showed up at the manger with some gifts that were exorbitantly expensive. That's it. That's all we know about. So why do we think Matthew chose to tell this story? Surely he has a reason. He could have just as easily shared the story that Luke had about the shepherds getting a message from the angels at night. Well, we know Luke had an agenda. By having the angels appear to shepherds, to people who were laborers, who were despised, who were dirty, who were doing the work that no one wanted, who were shunned by polite company. Luke was making clear that the message of God in Jesus, of his saving love, was for everybody, especially those people who were usually shut out and cast aside. Matthew likewise had a message that he wanted to share. God's redeeming work in Jesus was for all people. Now, today in 2017, we take for granted that the Christian church is a universal enterprise. There are Christians on all the continents, speaking multiple languages, coming from different nationalities and races. But 2,000 years ago, think about how the story got going. It all took place in one community. That was the Jewish community. Now, even back then, the Jews had been roughed up a lot through history. From settling in the Promised Land and having to deal with Canaanites and Philistines who had it out for them and were hostile to their religion, to having to deal with invasions from Egyptians and Babylonians and Assyrians, and then Romans, among others. It's not surprising that this community felt a need to define itself and to protect itself. But even as that was the case, there were those amongst Israel. Prophets going back to the 8th century B.C., long before Jesus was ever born, who made clear that the God of Israel was the God of all creation. Think about the prophecies of Isaiah and of Amos, and even if you do not believe that they are pointing to Jesus, it is very clear that God is the God of all and not just that of one people. This was motivating Matthew, who was Jewish, and he was sharing his gospel with a community of Jewish Christians. God was sharing his word with outsiders, with the other, with, I dare say, foreigners. It was a pretty radical thing to say and to proclaim then. And in many ways, it is still a radical and crazy thing for us to say today. We live not just in a country, but in a world that is being rocked by demographic changes, immigration flows, refugee crises, rapidly changing cultural contexts, and it is not surprising that people want to find comfort in the familiar. And there can be good debates around what are the right policies around immigrations and refugees and all of these things. But as Christians, we, I believe, are called to bring a particular perspective into this debate. We are not afforded the luxury of dividing people into us and them. We don't get to think about these questions in terms of domestic and foreign affairs, because we remember the words of Paul, that in Jesus Christ there is neither Greek nor Jew, male nor female, slave nor free. We are all one in God's people. So we think back today to those magi, those foreigners who were able to see something that the people in Jesus' own community did not see. Some of them would not see because, like Herod, they were paranoid. And Herod's an ironic case because he was not wholly Jewish. And then there were the chief priests who were jaded, probably thinking, great, yet another prophecy. But then there are these people from away who took a great risk to come to the manger. Something else we take for granted is the ease of travel. I remember a year or two ago, the comedian Louis C.K. made it clear that he had no patience for people who complained about the vicissitudes of air travel. He said, "We sit in chairs above the sky and travel like gods." And he's right. We can get in our cars and drive around and go where we want, but 2,000 years ago, to make the kind of trip the Magi did involved getting on a camel and having to deal with bad weather and with bandits and with thieves and spending a lot of time with people you didn't know, all with the hope you might get to where you were going. And they not only risked themselves, but their wealth. Gold and frankincense and myrrh. These were valuable gifts. And we believe the Magi brought them as a sign of respect and excitement. And they also risked their own perspectives and beliefs. They did not know what they were going to find when they showed up in Bethlehem. So today, we think about the Magi and the gifts they brought of treasure and of their persons and their curiosity, and we reflect on the gift that we're about to share at this table, the bread and the cup that are given to us by Jesus. And we remember that he shared the elements with the disciples before he gave us his ultimate gift of himself on the cross. And that gift was for all people, for the entire world. So my hope and my prayer today, as we wrap up our Christmas tide and as we look ahead to 2017, is that each of us here, individually and as a community, will be blessed with the faithfulness, the curiosity, the wonder, the generosity of those foreigners, the Magi.